Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Spawn Daily episode. Third day in a row, we're covering Curse of the Spawn, a single issue. Just as a reminder, whenever we do cover the main Spawn series, it will always be one issue per episode. But typically, when we cover some of the other tie-ins or mini-series, one-shots, what have you, we may do more than one. But it just so happens these three issues, which may or may not be in canon. I mentioned it several times yesterday. None of the characters that have showed up in these last three issues of Curse of the Spawn have showed up in any Spawn comics since they appeared in these. So it's debatable whether these are in canon or not. But of the three, this one's probably my favorite. Has some fantastic art, some really interesting characters. So it's Curse of the Spawn number 29. And then tomorrow in the region, we'll get back to covering some regular issues of Spawn. If you want to know what's coming up, if you want to know what we've covered so far, again, that reading order provided by Blake Whitlow. There's a link in the show notes to the Google Doc. You can go and check it out. There's a lot of notes about why things fit where and what have you. It's not set in stone. You can move things around if you need to, what have you. But for the most part, it's a really good resource. And, you know, when I originally started this, a long time viewers and listeners will remember, you know, starting it back in 2022, to celebrate the 30th anniversary in Spawn, and then unfortunately kind of falling off when the couple of co-hosts I had just couldn't keep up with the schedule. But I started off just reviewing the regular main series of Spawn and quickly realized that a lot of the events that happen in the other miniseries and crossovers and what have you, they really had an impact on the main series. And so decided to fold everything in, found Blake's reading order. Again, it's a fantastic resource. Go and check it out. So that being said, I have missed a few days this year. It was great for the first 3 months. I didn't miss any. Part of that was because I was re-releasing episodes, at least to begin with, that I had done before. And then I got to bank a bunch, but then life just got in the way. So again, apologies for that, but we're back on track now, releasing daily episodes. In fact, hoping to get to the point where I'm kind of releasing maybe 1.5 or 2 episodes a day, you know, maybe one in the morning, one at night, and the next day, maybe just one or what have you. But I do want to kind of get caught up to where I would have been had I not missed those few days. So I think I missed like maybe 4 days at one point and was able to get one episode out, and then missed like another 10. So yeah, almost 2 weeks in total time that I missed. So 14 episodes that I need to make up. And I haven't gotten caught up with recording ahead yet. But once I do, or once I feel like I have a good rhythm, then yeah, I'll probably be able to release multiple episodes. So that being said, let me go ahead and share my screen with you. Doing something a little bit different today. This book has some amazing double page spreads from the artist Clayton Crane. So as opposed to just showing one page at a time like I normally do, when I share the book, we're actually going to be showing the double page spreads at a time. So that's why, you know, when it's just a cover, you know, you see a big empty blank spot. But as we turn to the first page, you should see obviously the inside of the front cover as well as the first page. So this is the last issue. I don't know if they thought ahead of time, hey, this is the last issue, so let's call it Last Rites. But it's appropriately titled. Excuse me. So written by Alan McElroy, as all the Curse of the Spawn issues have been, the entirety of the series. Screenwriter, especially, has written a ton of horror comics. I would love to talk to him about this series. We'll see if I can make that happen. No promises. The amazing pencils, the line work in this issue, it's handled by Clayton Crane. We've got Chance Wolfe, as well as Todd McFarlane and Jonathan Glapion. Those should all be familiar names to you. They're handling the inking duties on this particular issue, which, again, very just gorgeous art from the entire art team on this one. Copy editor and letterer Tom Borzakowski, as we've come to know and expect from a Spawn issue. And then colors by Todd Broker. Also some help by Joe Fotis and Drew Hutchinson. So I really like the way the inside of that cover looks too, with kind of the concentric circles and these almost ghost-like figures that are falling into this abyss, what have you. Once you read the story, it'll make sense that those are actually souls. So it starts off, and a bit of some flowery language here from this guy that we see again, beautifully rendered. There's dirt being thrown on a coffin, and we kind of were zoomed in on the coffin at first, and we see it's a poorly made coffin, right? It looks like scraps of wood that are poorly nailed together that they're shoveling over here. I mean, at least it has a cross on it. And this guy is kind of standing off in the background looking, and he's talking about the way the world has changed. And meanwhile, this preacher is trying to bless the dearly departed, and the two gravediggers are like, "Hey, can we cut that crap, Padre? We got 14 more of these alley rat bastards to plant." So clearly a reference to Rat City. You got the New York skyline in the background. These guys aren't too happy about having to dig all these graves and bury these guys. And you kind of wonder, so who is this guy with the long white hair and the reddish eyes? Looks like he has some sort of a pet wolf. Why is he basically making a commentary on the lives of people who are dead, basically the lives that they've led. So as we look to the next page here, we see that there's somebody looks to be like the owner of a jewelry store, and he's killed three men who attempted to rob him. And he's saying, "Hey, you crap stains, you're dead. You like that, huh? Well, you ain't dead enough for me." And then he's like beating on him. You can see his bloody fist there. And as this gentleman with the long hair and the red eyes walks along the street outside, and he's thinking, another one bites the dust, right? That what they say, whether you're on your way to heaven or hell, there's no middle ground anymore. Whether it's murder or suicide. And we see some rats feeding on dead bodies in an alley. We see a guy who's hung himself. And this guy's thinking, there's no one to mourn. There's no one that cares anymore. The world has become a very bleak place. And the way he puts it is, this is the world we've made for ourselves. And so he pulls out his keys and he approaches this door, and it has all these signs on it: stop, no loitering, no trespassing, no religious fanatics. And as he approaches the door, he's thinking, this is a world at war. There's no winners, there's no losers, just poor dying people. This is the first, as we turn the page, the first of these beautiful double page spreads, as he's walking toward this cross, but the cross has like a ram skull on it. And you sort of are reminded of like Satanism in a way. And he's thinking that there's no longer room for repentance or redemption. You used to have a chance, a second chance, if you hadn't lived a good life, to kind of repent at the end and maybe find your way to heaven. And the guy says, "This is where I live, where I work, where I wait, but no one ever comes. At least no one who's ever worthy of getting a second chance." And he misses the time when things were a little more complex and things weren't so black and white. And as he's thinking this, this ghoulish looking guy shows up and says, "Hey, I've come for another chance. This is the place, right? I want my second chance." And this guy pulls out a gun, shoots him, says, the long haired guy, and says, "No trespassing. It's just another one for the River Styx. The current always carries them away in the same direction, always carries them south. Because it's written, the nearer they get to the end, the battle lines will be drawn." So, who exactly is this guy? Well, we find out on the next page, which is also another fantastic, beautiful double page spread. And the guy's lamenting. He says that he's become the caretaker of an empty world. This is the place between, where he's the caretaker and he's the watcher, he's the judge. And he names himself Jonathan Edward Custer, is who this gentleman is. Again, really interesting character, and I'm kind of sad that he hasn't shown up again in a Spawn comic. But he talks about being the appointed magistrate of purgatory. That's his job. That's what he's talking about, the space between, right? The space between heaven and hell. Like, when you die, if you're not, sufficiently evil, I guess you'd say, or you haven't done some really, really crappy things, you can go to purgatory. Because maybe there's some things you need to atone for. You need to kind of learn your lesson, learn humility, do a little time in purgatory, in limbo, until you can prove that you belong in heaven. Or maybe you aren't able to prove that you belong in heaven and you end up going to hell. But a place for a second chance, right? That's what the guy was just asking for, the guy on the bridge. So apparently you have to get through a maze. Custer says there's once the great labyrinth teemed with souls looking for a route to heaven. You had find your way up this mountain that you see in the backgrounds there and stretch your hand through the clouds up to heaven and find purchase. Or maybe you fell and ended up in hell. And now there's nothing, right? Like there's that maze that's laid out before him there and it's completely empty. There's nobody there. And so then we see the feet of somebody who's approaching him and his wolf as he stands there lamenting the fact that there's no longer anybody there in his realm. And it's this seraphim, this angel, Kimberly, and she's basically there to say, hey, words come down from on high that purgatory is going to be shut down. They're going to use the real estate to as the property and a place to train the war host. And his services are no longer needed. So obviously Custer's, pretty put out by this. He says, no, please, this is my life. What am I supposed to do? It's my whole reason for being. And she says, hey, you're just not needed anymore. Like people are either good or evil. It's black and white. But maybe you can, hang around as groundskeeper or something. And it's kind of being a little flippant with him. She's like, she says, Kimberly says, take it up with the old lady. And so this Jonathan Edward Custer, he talks to his wolf. His wolf's name's Garth. He says, what are we going to do? Not only was this, the place we looked over and it, as administrator, the place we lived, but it's been our purpose, right? This is what gave his life meaning, his existence meaning. And he says, we can't just walk away. I've got to make it matter again. I got to make it useful again. I need some souls of some people who could go either way. They could be go to heaven. They could go to hell. Fence straddlers. He's like, and I need them now. Time has run out for this guy. So meanwhile, back on Earth, we see four guys in clown masks and they're holding up an armored car. And it kind of reminds me of that scene out of Heat, right? These guys, the security guards here, the armored car workers or employees or what have you, they probably would give the money over. But one of the guys is trigger happy, and he starts firing at them. And then he actually gets killed when one of the men inside the truck sticks his gun out through a little hole that's expressly for that purpose, a little slot. And he shoots this guy as the guy shoots one of the armored guards. So the remaining two grab all the money. They jump in the car that's being driven by the getaway driver. They're like, obviously they're bad guys, right? But they're saying they're poor, they got families to feed, and only cold hard cash would really help them. One of them's name is Zach, another one's Wayne. The guy that died is Devin, and we never find out what the fourth guy's name is. But Wayne, he seems a little reluctant. He's like, this is not the way it's supposed to go down. Nobody was supposed to get hurt. And Zach's not hearing it, right? He's like, hey, we did what we had to do to survive. And that's just the way it is, like suck it up, basically. And so this is the scene on which Jonathan Edward Custer comes across. And as the police are pursuing these guys, Zach pulls out his automatic weapon and he fires on the police, ends up killing a bunch of the police officers. So yeah, this is that guy, probably not so much on the fence, right? It's really, really bad guy. But as he shoots at these guys destroys their police car, it runs into the car that they're driving, and they or sorry, what happens actually? I forgot about this part. Been a little bit since I read this. So they think they've gotten away. Like they blow up one of the police cars, the other one crashes, and again, Zach's telling Wayne, because Wayne expresses some regret over these police officers being killed. He's like, what have we done? And Zach's like, quit your whining and start counting the money. We got to ditch this ride. And Jonathan Edward Custer walks out into the street in front of these guys. And so they swerve to miss him so they don't run into him. And as they do that, it's a fantastic scene from Clayton Crane here, where it's just as their car goes flying through the air, you get a scene of them with wide-eyed, like, oh crap, because they know something really, really bad's about to happen. And it's because, yeah, they're literally flying through the air in their car into a gas station. And so they hit the gas station, there's a giant explosion, and they all die. And Custer, makes sure that they're all at the gates of purgatory. And they're trying to figure it out. They're just, hey, what's going on? Where are we? And Custer's holding the door open, saying, "Hurry, gentlemen, the door doesn't stay open for very long." He's trying to prove to God, basically, that purgatory does still have a meaning, a reason to exist. And so the three men approach. Zach is in the back, and Zach's not allowed in. And Custer grabs him by the throat, says, "Not you, Zach. You've burned your bridges and yourself along with them, a long time ago." And he tosses him over the side, so he goes falling to hell. Meanwhile, the other two are like, "Hey, what happened? Where are we?" And so Custer explains, "You're dead. This place is purgatory, where the souls that end up here have to get through the maze and try to get to the edge of heaven, or they fall and they fail and they end up in hell." Where Zach is, it's kind of funny. He says, "Where Zach is, ass slave to some demon by now, and your time is measured by the clock. When the clock strikes 12, your chance for salvation is over." And we see it's a quarter to 12 now when these guys show up. So it may be, I mean, if I'm remembering my religious myths correctly, that when depending on how much you need to redeem or how much you need to prove yourself, that limits your time, right? So these guys, they're right on the edge. They've done some really heinous stuff, so they don't have a long time to try to prove that they're worthy. Whereas somebody who maybe has infractions that aren't quite as serious, they would have more time. But these guys are like, well, one of them's like, I don't believe it. We're having a nightmare. We're asleep." And Wayne says, "No, we hit that gas station. I felt my life come undone. We're dead. This guy's telling the truth." So they have no choice. The clock is ticking, and so they head to the maze. And Wayne even says, "I want to get to heaven. I want a second chance. I want to make things right with God." And Custer looks on, looks pretty satisfied. He's glad this is going down. He's trying to, again, prove his worth, save purgatory. He says, "This is like the old days." And so these guys go through the maze. They have not the easiest time getting through the maze, and they even come across one of the guards that they killed, who is, yelling at them, telling them, you've ruined not only my life, but the lives of my family. My wife's going to become an alcoholic. She's going to lose the kids. My daughter becomes a porn star and dies of a heroin overdose. My son dies of AIDS in prison." And so these guys are just booking it, trying to get away from this guard that they killed, and one of them slips. And this is the unnamed guy, and Wayne tries to save him, but he's like, "Don't drop me, Wayne. Don't drop me. I don't want to burn." But Wayne is unable to hold on to him, and this guy falls into hell. And Custer's there saying, "Hey, you know what? He slipped a long time ago. You don't have much time. There's only 5 minutes left, so you should continue on." So Wayne, he makes it all the way up to the top of the mountain, and he's reaching for heaven. It looks like maybe Custer has proved his point, right? That purgatory exists so that some people can actually make it to heaven. But as he reaches out to heaven, and he starts touching, I guess, the holiness of it, you would say, he bursts into flames. Like, his arm, burns away, and he ends up falling as well. And Custer's there. No, as this guy falls, he's not obviously very happy to see that. And Kimberly shows back up saying, "Well, that was a pathetic attempt, but not totally unexpected. You did want to prove your worth. Some pride maybe ruined your perspective." And again, Custer's pleading his case, saying, "He needs me here. People need a second chance." And she says, "Hey, people know that they can do good and go to heaven. They just have to choose light over darkness, good over evil. The path is always there, but that's not the way the world is anymore, right? People are choosing to be evil. So don't feel bad. It's over. You've come home. You've earned your rest." And so that's how it ends, with the final panel there, a scene back on Earth. And it is, it's interesting. It's a farewell in a way. It says, "See ya." It's painted on the wall in graffiti. McElroy, obviously, that's Alan McElroy, who did the entire series, wrote the entire series, as I said. Turner, which is a reference to Dwayne Turner, who penciled a lot of it. Danny Mickey, who did inks on quite a bit of it. Chance Wolf, inker on a lot of it. Broker, and Nichols, who did a lot of the color work. And even the license plate on the car says End. And they throw in a John 3:16 bumper sticker as well, with a quote from C.S. Lewis that says, "The gates of hell are locked from the inside." So a great way to end it. Again, I love this story. I love Custer as a character more than anything. So a relatively simple story. It would be nice to see Jonathan Edward Custer show up again at some point. And yeah, this is just fantastic line work from Clayton Crane. Very different from kind of the digital painting stuff that he does now. It's much more detailed in a lot of ways. And, you know, just going through and showing those double page spreads again, because they're fantastic. It really kind of, with all the use of the empty space, negative space, you know, these broad vistas that he uses, you know, so often, what is it, letterbox or cinematic is the term that people use. I mean, same thing here. Just the vastness of it, he's putting all this detail in the background and what have you, but there's no people. So it really gives that sense of emptiness that Custer is lamenting throughout the story. So again, really interesting story. I like the look. I like the fact he has a pet wolf. I don't know. It's kind of sad that it's the final issue. But again, maybe someday somebody in McFarlane's stable of creators or somebody will bring an idea to him saying, "Hey, whatever happened to this Jonathan Edward Custer guy?" Be interesting. Even you could go back, you could do prequels to this story as well, and talk about that. So anyway, last issue of Curse of the Spawn. That being said, I don't think that we've covered all of Curse of the Spawn. I think, you know, in the reading order, it doesn't go in publishing order. So there may be some more Curse of the Spawn to come. I'm not even sure. I know for the next, I don't know, 6 or 7 episodes, it goes back to the regular series as we're getting close to 100, which is a big issue, an issue, in fact, and events in that issue that just were recently referenced in Spawn 350, which came out, which was, I won't spoil it, but you'll see some stuff. If you're following along, some events that will happen in 100 that just recently got resolved in 350. So fantastic to think it's that the story is lasting that long and events that happened, you know, 250 issues ago are still relevant. So anyway, that's going to do it for this episode, everybody. If you're listening on the audio feed where you can find the Comic Source podcast, you can get it on any of the podcast platforms or your favorite podcasting app. Just do a search for the Comic Source and subscribe. But if you're listening audio only, really encourage you and really would appreciate it if you head over to YouTube, do a search for the Comic Source channel and subscribe. Trying to get to 500 subscribers so I can monetize and try to make a little bit of cash to help offset the costs that that I have to pay every month to host content and you know, my website every year and domain name and all that sort of stuff. So really appreciate that, getting close, and appreciate everybody that's subscribed so far. And there's also a lot of other content on YouTube, trying to put everything on YouTube these days, just so people can get an idea of what creators look like and the art when we go through interviews and that sort of stuff. But if you are watching us on YouTube and you're curious about the previous content, from the Comic Source, again, there's thousands and thousands of episodes in the audio feed. You can go back and listen to old interviews, old reviews on books, convention coverage, all that sort of thing. None of it doesn't cost you anything. I'll never monetize my stuff to the point where I charge people with like a Patreon or, you know, charge you to listen early and then it's released to everybody else a week later, whatever. I've never wanted to do that. I always want the love of comics to be shared and be free. So, you know, I'll never charge anybody directly, which is what's great about YouTube. We can all follow along. We can all read Spawn. We can all enjoy it, check out the art and what have you. And I can make a little cash to help offset everything I've paid over the years to keep this thing running. But it doesn't cost the people who enjoy it and watch it. Doesn't cost them anything other than maybe you have to see an ad or two here or there. So, definitely the way to go. So, as I said, appreciate all the subscribers, really. And if you have people that you know at your local comic shop or others that enjoy comic book content, yeah, send them this way. They can get to enjoy Spawn, and we'll be starting some other projects up as well. But being that I fell off of Spawn a little bit, anything else I start, I want to have a significant number in the can before I get started on anything else. So anyway, that's going to do it for this episode, everybody. Really appreciate the support as always. Don't forget to leave comments below of what you thought about this issue, what you thought about Jonathan Edward Custer, what you thought about the art. Always love to engage with people who are enjoying and watching the videos down in the comment section. So that's going to do it for this episode. Appreciate the support as always, everybody. Talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.